Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grovecast. If you'll notice, this doesn't sound like Barry. This is Jason, your minister of music, and I'm joined here by Kale.
Hello.
So today we're going to be talking about Advent. If you read the newsletter, I wrote a little blurb on it, and some of this might be a retread, but we're going to have a quick conversation about basically a little bit of the history and why we do it. So I just thought I'd start kick things off. Kale, what is your history with Advent and the church?
Yeah, okay. So I personally, I first ran into Advent whenever I was in high school. My church actually started doing like Advent services because they had never done anything like that before. But right as I was, I don't know, sophomore, junior in high school, my church started doing some more traditional things, like events throughout the year. And a big part of that was Advent. And some people liked it, some people didn't, because, you know, they had grown up Methodist or Catholic or whatever. And I actually knew some people who weren't sure about celebrating those things. But I thought it was great, because I had never even heard of Advent until I started doing Advent services, like the week or two before Christmas. I think they had six special Advent services at night. And I went to those. And so that was really cool to experience and see and, you know, just talk about the first and second coming of Christ. So,
yeah, for me, I grew up in a Baptist church, and I don't remember, of course, I wasn't the best kid that paid attention to everything, but I don't remember hearing the word Advent. We had a big wreath that would keep up with the Lottie Moon offering, where, like, they would keep lighting bulbs, and I never knew, like, the exact dollar amount, but, you know, you just keep looking up and see more lights lit up. And then we just start, you know, singing Christmas songs and preaching out of Luke. And then as a worship leader, I'm sure I didn't know when to start singing Christmas songs. And so I would just, you know, seems like when I started off, it'd be like 2 weeks before Christmas, I'd be like, I guess it's now time. And I know some other people that I know that that's the way that they do it. And honestly, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. There's nothing in the Bible that says thou shalt start the Advent season on the fourth Sunday before Christmas.
Yeah, right.
But it's just a tradition that we find helpful. Let me first define Advent. I think it can kind of mean a few things. It means, like, the Webster's Dictionary, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me, but it just means, like, the arrival of a significant person, like a, you know, a king or something, which kind of fits. And then, of course, the church, what it is, if you're wondering, and if you didn't know, and we've been talking about it already, it is where we prepare for the coming of Christ. And that means not just basically living the story of the Israelites, where they were waiting on the Messiah, but we also realize in our day where we're preparing for the second coming. And so it's a time of reflection, repentance.
Yeah, well, and that's great because, you know, we're not the first, obviously not the first ones to celebrate Advent or to recognize or, you know, take part in this Advent season, because it's not like the one event of Advent, you know, where we celebrate it on Christmas. It's a season beforehand where, you know, we try to adopt intentionally this posture or this attitude of like you said, humility or of, you know, expectation. You know, we're waiting for something. And the first people to really do that were the Israelites, because they had the promised Messiah in mind. You know, they knew that the Messiah was coming, didn't know when or who or how or whatever, not exactly anyway, but they had a lot of scripture from the prophets. and all throughout the Old Testament, you know, that they had talking about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. And so, you know, there was those 400 years or so before Jesus finally came in a way that nobody expected. And, you know, they had just come under the oppression of Rome. You know, they were under the rule of Rome. And so it was during that time that, you know, they were really expecting and hoping for the Messiah.
Yeah.
And
so it's just a time that we want to set apart and remember, as that's what a lot of the year is remember. But we think that it's significant to take this time and not be so, I guess sometimes the church can be a little too, or everyone can be a little bit overly sentimental about Christmas. You know, like they make Jesus into just this kind of mascot where it's just this cute little baby, you know. And of course I'm not Mr. Sentimental, so I'm not a big like, oh, look at the baby. But I feel like that's the only attitude we have. Look at the baby. Let's give gifts to everyone. And so if I sound too cynical, I don't mean to be, but it's like, do you realize who that baby is?
Right.
This is our creator. Like, one of my favorite lines is a Matt Boswell song, Maker of Mary, now Mary's son. Like, this is our creator who is like, come to save us. Like, can you just imagine being in the presence? I mean, of course, a lot of people didn't know who this was, but if you knew it, like, that is astounding. And then, of course, the way that he was treated is just, it's mind-boggling. He was scorned. We know that Herod was basically going after him. Like, from the beginning, he was killing all the firstborns. He kind of sent the Magi wanting them to spy. Like, he was using them to figure out who he was. So his life was under threat from the beginning. This is our creator. You know, he should have been born in a palace. You know, he should have had just the most, like, sterile, you know, expert. I don't know what they were then, doctors, nurses, I don't know what they were called, midwives, I don't know, but they should have had the best of the best there, and yet he was born in a manger. So
yeah, I mean, the place should have been like consecrated by the priests, and you know, with all the ceremonial and, you know, everything just like all around totally surrounded in the best it could possibly be, and he was born in probably some of the worst conditions.
Yeah,
I mean, literally like basically in a barn or like a cave or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it was awful.
So we want to put really, you know, like a lot of this is like setting our minds like in a scriptural, the way that the scripture intends it to be and not the way the world does. And I think that Advent does a great job of this. Also, I just like, I think that we should be admitting here, we're Advent novices, and our church has like a lot of diverse backgrounds, and I know that there's someone that may be listening to this that is just like, oh gosh, like I've been doing Advent all my life, and there are some, and so that's like one thing is that we're not the experts on this, and we also want to recognize that there's a lot of different traditions of that, and we're not saying that the way we do it is the best, but a lot of it is tradition formed, but we also look at scripture and say, do we need to throw this out or do we need to add this?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is this whole season and this entire, you know, Advent thing that we're advocating for right now is it's all in total submission to scripture, or we try to make it that. Mm-hmm. Because it's a tradition, like you said, you know, it's human formed, it's man-made. This is just something that we do, that we've developed, or that people over however many years have developed, in an effort to remember Christ and his birth and you know, God coming to earth in the form of a man, of a human person, and then also to look forward to the second coming, to whenever, you know, the warrior king, Jesus, will come and judge the earth and bring, you know, his own people back to heaven with him. You know, that's what we're looking forward to, and that's what this whole season is about, is humbling ourselves before King Jesus.
Yeah. We live in a time of where social justice or the sense of like injustices is put at the front. And I don't necessarily want to make like say, hey, that's not an injustice, but Jesus is the one who suffered the one greatest injustice. He was perfect, flawless, lived a perfect life, and he was crucified for no reason. I mean, even the Roman governors, they said, this man has no reason. You know, unfortunately, they didn't free him. They just said, let them deal with it. But they all judged, this man has no reason to die. And that, but now we know he's coming back, and he is going to bring the perfect justice.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes us feel a little silly when we talk about injustices as if we are the experts when Christ is coming and he's going to set all things right.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so Jason, how many years or how many like Advent seasons have we kind of celebrated at Cedar Grove? Because I've only been here. This will be my second Christmas at Cedar Grove.
Well, I don't know. I think to really acknowledge and use the word Advent, I would say last year was when we really started. Now, I guess my secret is that I always use the church calendar as a guide. It's not something that I'm strict about, but it does. It's just one more thing. You know, what is Barry preaching on? What does the congregation need? And then also I look at where we are in the church calendar. And so sure. I've always done, you know, if you look at the past bulletins, you can see, you know, the Christmas music started or Advent music would always start 4 weeks before. That's helpful to me because then it makes me not wait till how I feel. Like, when do I feel like doing Christmas music? That's one good thing is you're not going on my feelings. We're going on a tradition that I think is well tested.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Advent at Cedar Grove and a lot of different churches is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody kind of does it a different way, and especially with like the candle lighting that we do. So a big part of Advent is the candle lighting, and we prefer to do that in the service on Sunday mornings whenever we come together for corporate worship. At least that's what we did last year, and that's what we plan to do this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we do that, we read scripture that's all about the first or second coming of Christ. We pray over the congregation, and I will be asking some people to do that, some families. And Sage and I will start the first Sunday, but after that, we're going to have some families come up or some couples come up and do that for our congregation. And, you know, that's a big part of it. And that's not, you know, there's not a set way to do it. There's not a singular set way to do it. A lot of different congregations in different denominations and different traditions do it different ways. But here at Cedar Grove, at least last year, we had five candles that were like the centerpiece on Sunday mornings. And the themes that we ran with in order were hope or faith, and then peace, and then love, and then joy. And then on Christmas Eve, we lit the Christ candle, the white candle that stands in the center of the other four. And so that's just kind of, you know, the candles obviously are like, you know, it's a light. You know, that's mm-hmm. what they're used for. And so this is just the light of Christ breaking into the darkest time of the year.
Yeah. And with each light, you know, it's like it's getting brighter. And it's also, it's building anticipation. That's a big part of Advent is just anticipation. There is a tension that is going to be resolved.
That's right. Yeah.
And so one thing that if you go to like an Episcopal church, the music will be more minor key, more dour, and you won't sing, you probably won't hear Joy to the World or, you know, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen or O Come All Ye Faithful until Christmas Day. I don't do that. I think partly because I might have a riot on my hands, and I don't necessarily want to do that because I think, well, we are aware of Christ's coming. And so, especially in the first 2 weeks, you will, like, that's usually when I will do, like, O come, Emmanuel, come, thou long-expected Jesus. And those are very much Advent songs. It's, you know, it's the plea for a Savior. But by the end of the service, I'll have already resolved that tension, especially by the second or third week. We'll start doing Christmas songs, partly because there's just not long enough, like, traditionally, like, the Christmas season in the church year is after Christmas, which I don't think we're kind of done with it by the Christmas after, by the Sunday mm-hmm. after Christmas. That's about the last ones. I might throw in another one because I don't think that we're used to that. And like I said, we don't have to be. If we ever wanted to adopt that, the period of Christmas is basically December 25th, and then it's the 12 days of Christmas.
After Christmas.
After Christmas. That's where the 12 days come from, to January 6th, which is Epiphany, which is basically where we recognize the wise man. That's in the tradition. And it's only those 12 days where you sing, like, the songs that we consider Christmas songs. And if you look in our hymnal, actually, the word Advent is there. You can see the Advent hymns and the Christmas hymns.
They've got a clear distinction like that then.
Yeah, yeah. So it's always been there. It's not like we're doing anything like we're adopting something from someone else. It's always been there. And so, you'll see like, O come, Emmanuel, come thou long expected Jesus, let all mortal flesh be silent. That's one that we don't sing here. We might do that as a special because I really like that song. And then you'll, you know, flip over a few pages and it'll be Christmas. Joy to the world. O come all ye faithful. And you can always find them. It's like one of the, like I have the numbers almost memorized and it's like from 88 to about 103, which is like really specific, but I don't have one in front of me, but I might be dead on. It's my job. I flip through the hymnal a lot. So, yeah. Yeah.
So Jason, memorizer of Bible verses and hymn numbers. No, but that's good. You know, that's kind of, we're glad that you do that because I know I have not taken the time to memorize the hymn numbers. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, but, you have to, got to write them, you know, we still put them in the bulletin. So
that's right.
It ends up getting in there.
Yeah, yeah. In case something goes horribly wrong, technologically speaking, and we have to use the books again.
Yeah. It's also good to, at least for me, to have a sense of how it's organized. So, because every once in a while, there's some disaster happens or someone just requests something that it's just like on the fly. So at least I'm not like flipping through the whole Bible. I know where things are.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and you bring up, you know, the distinction between Advent and Christmas hymns, even in the hymnal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just, and we've talked about it already, but there's this phrase called already and not yet.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the central theme of Advent and Christmas and really all of Christianity is in the name itself. It's Christ. That's the center of it all. You know, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's this sub-theme, you know, this undercurrent that we as Christians living in 2021 really need to remember, and that's the already, you know, what Christ has already done and what we know has happened historically. And then there's the not yet, the things that we're waiting on, like we talked about the second coming on the unknown day, whenever Jesus will come like a thief in the night, whenever he comes to judge the earth and whenever the rapture happens, you know, whatever your belief is about the end times and whenever things will happen, whatever will happen first, that's going to happen someday. And that's what our hope is, what we're expecting. And, you know, we want to see Jesus again, and we know that he's coming because he's promised us that. And God has never let us down in his promises. So.
Yeah. So, you know, often I hear, I think, and I've done it, like, so many of the prayers during the during the season begin with, "In our busyness, Lord," or, you know, and we do need to pray, like, because we do end up being busy, but when things start getting repeated so much, I'm like, we need to analyze, like, wait, why is this always the beginning of the Advent prayer? It's like almost we've added something to the canon, which is, "In our busyness, let our focus be on you." And we do it every year. We start with, "In our busyness, Lord." And someone's going to pray that, and now I'm going to snicker because they didn't hear this. It's okay if you even start a prayer in church that way.
I might do that just in spite of you, Jason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do it. But that's the whole point is let's stop with that. Stop letting the world tell us what we're supposed to do during this season. Start making the focus. Like, I know there's a lot of worries about Christmas because of shortages. Like, you know, there's a chance we're not going to get our favorite foods and definitely toys. I know that there's like crazy shortages with toys and whatever else we're hoping for there. You know, I haven't been looking yet, which means I'm going to be in big trouble or everyone's getting a gift card. And then, yeah, let them worry about the shortages. But it doesn't matter. There's no stopping. There's no stopping what we're celebrating. He's coming back. It doesn't matter. So I think even to just acknowledge, like, in our busyness, it's nothing.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Christ is coming. It's one of the most sure things that you can count on.
Absolutely. Yeah. The COVID Grinch and the, you know, busyness Grinches can't stop our God from coming again.
Yeah.
You know, he's not waiting on us. You know, he's going to come whenever it's time, whenever the time is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we've got for you guys, but thank you for joining us in our discussion about Advent. We hope that you find this time, this Advent season, to be helpful, you know, as long as it's in submission to Scripture and as long as it's helpful for our faith and our edification. Guys, we just hope that this time finds you, you know, growing closer to God and remembering Him more and slowing down to appreciate what He's done and to, you know, be excited and also longing for him to return once again. So thank you, guys, and we hope you find this all helpful. So we will see you all later.
Yeah, thank you, and I'm looking forward to going through this season with all of you. I love singing the songs. I hope this, like, makes you a little more thoughtful, maybe even if it's just as much as, like, we sing a song and all of a sudden it occurs to you, like, oh, this is an Advent hymn. That would be a win for me.
I'm so glad.
So I look forward to it, and goodbye for now.